Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I'm your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can
follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. You can follow myself at CJ Sports 1. I'm glad to have everybody here with us tonight. We will have Jay Spearman, our senior featured NBA writer, joining us about the 10 o'clock hour tonight. I got a few things that I got to attend to on the site, but Jay Spearman has helped us bring a little bit of adds to the show, so I'm glad, or to the company, so I'm glad to see that. Looking forward to be able to jump into the NBA world with him tonight, as it has definitely been an interesting world. I'm trying to redo everything. The daughter had homework to do tonight, and she done shifted everything around. That was the reason why I was running about 2 or 3 minutes late. I didn't count on her shutting everything down. I figured she would leave it on and just close everything out. But I got in here and had to reboot everything, so that took a little bit longer than I thought. But anyway, we got a lot of things that we're going to jump into tonight, but we are going to dedicate pretty much the second half of tonight's show from the 10 o'clock hour on with NBA talk and Jay Spearman. So I'm definitely looking forward to not only having him back, but get his opinion on the racism in the NBA world. LeBron James, the NBA playoffs, as we know, he was highly sold on the whole L.A. Clippers making the finals and actually going all the way, which obviously that is look like that is not going to happen. Who knows? They may turn it around, but we'll have to see on that. But I'm looking forward to having Jay Spearman come on. It's been a few weeks. I am sporting the Pat Graham racing shirt tonight. We got those in last week. I didn't quite have the size I wanted, but I can adjust to this. I'm just about down to the weight to actually be in this size. It was all shut down in the first place. And then I turned everything on and rebooted everything for her. And then she turned around and shut everything back down anyway. My son, he sported his Pat Graham shirt while he was in Gatlinburg, took a few pictures of that. So I figured I would go ahead and squeeze into an XLR shirt. Normally I'm a 2X kind of guy, but as the weight keeps coming off, they're starting to fit a little bit better. So I figured tonight I would go ahead, since I wore the Garrett marching shirt last night, that I would go ahead and do the Patrick Graham shirt tonight. Any of our guests or any of those people out there that you got your shirts and you would like for us to go ahead and support the shirts to get your racing team out there, your career out there, whatever the case may be, just send us a shirt. I have no problem of sporting some free shirts. So just put it out there. Just let y'all know. Got to thank a few people real quick before we jump into everything. One, I got to thank Frog Fuel Protein. That's one of the things that we're in talks with me and Ms. Lee. Hopefully, we will continue a long, prosperous relationship with them. We'll find out here in the next day or so. So hopefully that continues with them. Also got to thank Monterey's Mexican Restaurant. You can find them at 173 Westwood Shopping Center, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Let them know the 110 sent you 10% off your bill. Also got to thank Sideways Illustrated. You can find them at sidewaysillustrated.com. TopBet.com. Make sure you guys check them out. They are an online gambling site, basically. For those that like to get into it and make some money off the sporting world, as I know that I participate in my fair share of football pools, basketball pools, you name it, we pretty much bet on everything. As a matter of fact, I bet every year who's going to have a better record, the Cleveland Browns or the Carolina Panthers. Won the first year. We do $100 a year. The last 3 years have cost me quite a bit of money. I'm feeling more confident that the Browns are moving in the right direction, and we might actually have a better season in Carolina this year. I could use some of that money coming back my way. But make sure you guys check out TopBet.com. They jump aboard the 110 Nation, and we're looking forward to having a good, prosperous relationship with them as well. Got a couple of things in the works. We'll release the details as those come out. But I want to make sure that I throw them out there. Also, if you're interested in joining the 110 Nation as we continuously grow at a rapid pace, we've had some of our former writers come back after our merger Well, consolidating all our individual sites into one site, 110nationsports.com. If you're interested in joining the 110 Nation, all you do is send me up, MrCJSports@gmail.com. We would love to have you come on. Also, if you're interested in co-hosting or hosting the show, or maybe you got some marketing, social media, whatever the case may be, skills that you could use to help us in our continuous growth, hit me up, MrCJSports@gmail.com. Also, if you're interested in being on the show, if you're an athlete, part of a team, part of some kind of athletic organization, whatever the case may be, or you have a show or a site and you want to promote it and talk sports, or even maybe you got some kind of foundation, such as the More Than Just Me. We had Tommy Danger on last Monday night to talk about the cystic fibrosis run that we participated in and sponsored. We've had many people come on and promote their cause or their project, whatever it is. If you're interested in coming on the show, again, just hit up Miss Lee at Lee, that's L-E-E underscore 110nation@yahoo.com. Speaking of Tommy Danger, speaking of More Than Just Me. Sorry, I'm just extremely dehydrated. I have been sucking down water for the last 3 or 4 days. Long weekend, a lot of activity. Speaking of Tommy Danger, I got to have a little more respect for what this man has been doing. Not only the fact that he's raising all this money for a great cause, but after climbing a mountain 2.7 miles up and 2.7 miles down, carrying my son, who is not the lightest thing in the world, on my shoulder for part of the hike up there, having to go over the rocks, the roots, the trees, around a 4-foot-long snake, waterfalls, streams, whatever the case may be, straight up 2.7 miles down, gives me a more of appreciation what Tommy Danger does for fun and does to raise money for his cause or the causes that he does raise money for. Got to have a little bit more appreciation. We talked about that at work today when I was in because people were asking me how my weekend went. It's the first time that the people that I work with had seen me, and that was the first thing that got brought up after I talked about my climbing up to go see the waterfall. Someone that listened to the show happened to catch the episode with Tommy Danger on, and kind of, you know, kind of throughout there, you kind of get a new respect for what he does. I'm looking forward to be able to see him in Bristol. I want to make sure that I thank NASCAR InGear once again for giving me the opportunity to be out there for the Coca-Cola 600. Looking forward to that. For those that are listening to the show, NASCAR fans, I myself will be out for the All-Star race, the Coca-Cola 600, and so far we're locked in for the Atlanta weekend and the Bristol weekend, working on either Richmond or Barnesville through other connections, and we have Kentucky. We're working to see if I can work that into my schedule, and then also Las Vegas, but that's a little bit of a trip, so I'm not 100% sure if we're going to make a trip out there this year or not. We'll see how things pan out and see what we can get situated or organized between now and then when it comes to the funds and getting the 110 out there. But I got to thank those people for making all this possible and giving me these opportunities as well. Speaking of thanking, I'm going to make sure that I thank Joey Elcher. He was a young rider we brought back on. He did the interview with Tyvis Powell. I got the opportunity to actually talk to him, to Tyvis Powell. Number 23, Ohio State, corner, defensive back. Great, great guy. Got a message back and forth. Joey is supposed to be having a couple more interviews come out. He's actually interviewing Archie Griffin, president, Ohio State, son, Adam Griffin. He's got that piece coming out soon. Excuse me. And he's also got an interview with Urban Meyer's wife. So we're looking forward to those pieces coming out when he gets done with those interviews. Very excited about that. Got to thank Raphael. Thomas, you can follow him. You can follow You can follow Joey at JWE Sports. Also, got to thank Raphael for all the great work that he has produced. Had a few pieces come out today. He actually went behind and helped proofread a couple things that I had published. You can follow him at Think, Share, Laugh. We're always trying to help each other and assist each other in every which way we can over here at the 110 Nation. Make sure you check out those pieces. I also did a few pieces. I told you last night I was working on a piece about LeBron James. I was doing a piece on Jadeveon Clooney, the number one overall pick that everybody's so highly sold on, but I'm still not quite understanding why. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Then also, another bit of information that we're going to talk about tonight, Cleveland Browns decide that it was in their best interest, not understanding why, to work out not only Tyler, I want to make sure I get that right. Let me backtrack for 1 second because I want to make sure I got the right player. The main one that I focused on today was the fact that they worked out Vince Young. And that was mainly what my focus was on. It wasn't so much of anybody else that they decided they were going to work out. It was the fact that the Cleveland Browns thought it was in the best interest for some reason or another to work out. And he got Tyler Thigpen. I want to make sure I got the right name. And Tyler Thigpen was the other one. I'm not really seeing that being a possibility. But I see the mobile quarterback situation that Vince Young could be a possibility to land, which in one aspect, yes, it's great because now that means we are having less focus on, and that's letting me know that the Cleveland Browns are having a less focus or putting less focus in wasting a draft pick and Johnny Football. But then that means we are looking to bring a wasted piece of garbage into the team. You say what you want, but Vince Young hasn't done jack since he left college football. He did, if you want to even go that far, with the Tennessee Titans, didn't take him anywhere, maybe a playoff appearance or so. On the field issues, didn't know if mentally he could just handle being a quarterback. Then he's not even been able to manage to hold on to a backup role in many different teams, Green Bay, Buffalo, Philadelphia, and then, of course, he had that stupid dream team thing that had to come out of his mouth and really just ruined his whole situation in Philadelphia. Vince Young has never grown up. He has never turned into an actual NFL-quality quarterback. Why the Cleveland Browns feel that they need to work out Vince Young and possibly bring Vince Young to the Cleveland Browns, I do not understand. At this point, like I wrote in my piece, why don't we just go ahead and complete the trifecta? Why don't we go ahead and work out Jamarcus Russell and Ryan Lee? Why not? We're just going to allow any piece of garbage come onto our field, and we're going to work them out and just waste time and waste energy and think about bringing busted-ass quarterbacks to the Cleveland Browns that we've done so many times. We might as well just continue on. Hell, we'll bring Tim Couch back while we're at it. We go out and sit down to David Klingler. That was another bust I can remember. We can name a whole bunch of busts that the Cleveland Browns could, at this point, work out because, obviously, that's what we're in the business of doing this offseason, is trying to work and get this team in the right direction, all except for the quarterback position. And we're just going to work out any piece of garbage that can't land a job anywhere else. At this point, to be honest with you, I would rather us work out Tim Tebow and give him a shot over Vince Young. Call me crazy, but at least we know we are going to get somebody that is a hard worker, that knows how to keep his mouth shut, that is mature, that is a leader, that does not have, I don't know if I'm a quarterback, I don't know if I can handle this issues. I would just rather have Tim Tebow as an option at the quarterback position than Vince Young or anybody else that is pretty much left at this point that doesn't have a job. Cleveland. Either go after somebody that is legitimately going to make sense or don't go after anybody at all and draft somebody in the second or third round. Waste another pick at that point. Why waste our time and energy and efforts on somebody like Vince Young? I don't understand. Don't get it. I really don't. But it's the Cleveland Browns. We seem to have this trend that we like to do stupid things, make stupid moves. They finally go in the right direction. And we make a boneheaded move and ruin all the progress we move forward. You bring this man on your team, all the progress that we made just goes out the window. That whole two-step forward, three-steps back kind of process. That's all you're doing. Don't do it. Don't waste it. If you really feel that you need a quarterback that is mobile, that is mediocre throwing, that even if that's all you're looking for, go ahead and get Tim Tebow. At least, like I said, with that, you have a leader. You have somebody that they will rally around. You have somebody that's a hard worker. You know, you got someone that's going to do the right thing. Cleveland, I support you all the time. I wear my Cleveland stuff religiously. But enough is enough. Let's move forward. Let's quit going backwards. Bring in Vince Young is a step backwards. Don't do it. You finally got Cleveland and the fans hyped. We are looking at an AFC North that we legitimately can actually win this year. Cincinnati Sun fell apart. Plus, you got Marvin Lewis. You know it's not going to win a play. Cincinnati is not going to win a playoff with Marvin Lewis. They've proven that year in and year out. They've never won a playoff game under Marvin Lewis. You got Andy Dalton. We ain't going to worry about it. You know the last two or three games of the season, he's good for at least 8 to 10 interceptions in the playoffs. He's good for another 3 to 5. So if they happen to make the playoffs, we're not worried about having to beat them. They're going to beat themselves if they ever came down to that. Then you got Pittsburgh, who's still old and banged up and is still trying to rebuild. And then you got Baltimore, still trying to recover from the ridiculous contract of Joe Flacco that had to dissect their team and rebuild basically from scratch. Cleveland has now jumped into the driver's seat ahead of everybody else. Plus, they had all that money to spend. You got the opportunity to actually win. I'm not saying that they're going to win the first game in the playoffs. I'm not saying that they're going anywhere in the playoffs. But Cleveland has a legitimate shot at winning the AFC North. Don't screw it up by getting some bum-ass quarterback that is not going to win you any games, that is not going to be good in your locker room, that if it came down to Brian Hoyer actually getting hurt, not fully recovered by the season began, let's have a quarterback in line that actually can lead you to win games. Now some quarterback that now I'm part of a dream team too. This is such an opportunity. Now that I got Josh Gordon, and I got Burleson, and I got Ben Gates, and I got Greg Little. I'm on a drink. No, we don't need that at all. No, thank you. Pass it up. Don't waste our time. Don't be stupid, Cleveland. Please, I beg it of you, do not be stupid. Don't waste what money we have left. Let's use that money wisely. Tell you what, it's a bit interesting. Could the NFL form a minor league or D-League system? Very interesting concept here. The echoes of NFL Europe have long faded since they last played in 2007, yet the need to find a place to develop new talent in every NFL talents in every NFL league walk of life still remains. The new director of football operations can envision the future minor league or developmental D-League, in other words, designed to help groom people to fill jobs. I honestly thought that was kind of what the CFL, the arena football, the semi-pros, I really thought that was the whole concept behind those. Obviously, that's not how they visualize it. Troy Benson has taken over as NFL Director of Football Operations. He recently told the Associated Press that I am responsible to look at whatever the competition committee looks at and includes looking at a developmental league. There you go. Big word. Could help. You got players such as, and I forgot that earlier, Tim Tebow, who is a great leader. It's proven that he can win. Done great things, taking over, and the opportunity. Unfortunately, John Elway is a prick and decided that even though Tim Tebow did his job and did it better than anybody thought he was going to do it, that we're going to overpay and bring Peyton Manning in, and we're not going to win a playoff game in the first go-around, and we're going to get our butt handed to us in the Super Bowl. I'm a Peyton Manning fan, don't get me wrong, but a project is 2 years in, and it is quickly seeing its lifespan come to an end. Was it worth? Was it really worth turning your back on probably one of the most loyal players that you would ever have in your system that would have worked harder than anybody else? Was it really worth passing up the opportunity of him leading your team to the playoffs or Super Bowl as well? Because the team made it to the playoffs in the first season, even though they started off as garbage behind their other quarterback, Kyle Orton. Turned it around, got him in the playoffs, won the first playoff game. Who knows what would have happened? All we do know is Peyton Manning can't get the job done in Denver. That's all we do know. So makes you wonder, was it really the best of moves? Two games in the works right now. We got Charlotte getting pretty much manhandled by the Miami Heat. The allergies are really messing with my throat right now. 99-86. Miami Heat up 3-0. This is pretty much a done deal with 4 minutes left in the game. And then Atlanta is just handing it to Indiana. As Indiana finally got the series tied back up with two. Atlanta's up 62-40, a 22-point lead over the Indiana Pacers. It will be interesting to see if the Pacers can turn this game around in the second half and make a game out of it, as there are 11 minutes and 44 seconds left in the third. I cannot get the scratch out of my throat. Excuse me. Seattle Seahawks lock up safety Earl Thomas to a big extension, 4 years, $40 million. Obviously, everything that defense did for the Seattle Seahawks, obviously, it is a big deal. And obviously, Seattle wants to lock in as many of those players as possible to keep the that team together. And rightfully so. Hopefully that these players, I know Sherman is being greedy. He wants to be paid the top dollar at his position, Richard Sherman. Hopefully the rest of the players, because obviously him being an ass that he is, he's not going to take anything less than being paid the most. He is not obviously a team player. He's only worried about him, himself, and I. As you hear that in almost any interview that he talks about him, himself, and I, not really the team. So hopefully the rest of the team will decide to work around the situation, because obviously he is not going to be a team player. So it'll be interesting to see how many of the Seattle Seahawks decide to be team players to keep this team together and make a run as long as possible. And I really do apologize. This pollen and stuff in the air just really is making it hard for me to keep my throat clear. Speaking of Seattle Seahawks, the Seattle newspaper and the Seattle media decided to make it everybody's business that Russell Wilson had filed for a divorce and that him and his wife were, you know, getting divorced. And it makes you really sit there and take a minute back. And some things, I feel, don't need to be put on the table. And, of course, we're going to report what is out there. But when it comes to personal life, unless it's been put out there, I'm not going to go dig into somebody's personal life and blast out their personal business. And I think it was really shady and really unprofessional. That is what you're focused on it comes to Russell Wilson and it comes to your reporting. I can understand if you're reporting on Russell Wilson on what he's doing in his off season, how he's preparing for the 2014-15 season, how does it feel to be a Super Bowl champion? How does it feel to be a third-round pick that was told that he would never make it, that he was undersized, that he could barely see over his offensive line, that Seattle was making a mistake of going with? I can understand all that stuff that you could throw into an argument. Completely understand that, and I'm fine with that. I just so happen to have some allergy medicine here, so hold on one second while I pop this real quick. Just popping pills. Not what I normally take, but I just happen to see it in front of me. And I need to shake this scratchiness in my throat. If not, it is going to be like this all show long, and I can't do this. Do this real quick. There we go. Pop it up again real quick. I can understand if that's the case. I can understand if that's what you're focused on. But instead, you're focused on his personal life. You're focused on him getting a divorce. You're focused on all the stuff that really does not matter. And I guess my thought is, at what point is personal personal? At what point does the media need to stay out of personal and stick to professional? I mean, honestly, being the business I am, doing this show three nights a week, hopefully seven soon, writing pieces and doing this whole 110 Nation, hopefully becomes my real job and get rid of the real job, I could care less whether or not he's married or not, getting divorced or not. Just like we've had this discussion, I don't need to know who our first openly gay NBA player is, who our first openly gay NFL player is, who our first openly gay MLB player. You already have a gay athlete, so it does not really make a difference what sport they're in, and they're the first in that sport. We already have our first openly gay player, so it does not make a difference. Just like I've mentioned, I don't care if we have our first openly divorced player or our first openly, I got six baby mama player, or I have openly 10 kids. I don't need to know all this. Just like we don't need to know whether or not Russell Wilson is married or not, getting divorced or not, and if he's got a new girlfriend or not, or if his wife's already got a new husband or not a new husband, new boyfriend or not. Really don't need to know all that. And I don't understand why the media and the fans, not all fans, but fans, out there think that it's really their business or they need to know all this stuff about everybody. What only thing that matters is whether or not they perform on the field, whether or not they're living up to their contract, whether or not they're helping your team win games or not. That's all that really matters, not what their personal business life is on the outside. And if they're doing something illegal, of course, then it doesn't matter because you're supporting that team. You're putting money into that team when you buy product, merchandise, whatever the case may be. But outside of that, it doesn't really matter. Who they date, who they don't date, what sexual they date, or what sex they date, or married, or kids, what the case may be, as long as they're not participating in illegal activities, it's none of our business. I don't understand why the media feels that needs to be our business. I don't understand why everybody's concerned. Like I said, I'm still baffled on why we must label our first everything. We don't label our first married player. We don't label our first engaged player ever. I don't know why we got to label our first openly gay. In every sport, we have our first openly gay athlete. That should have been all that mattered. And if that shouldn't even matter, for a society that wants everybody to be treated equal, then it shouldn't even be announced or it shouldn't even be a big deal, because that just separates instead of making it all one you know, not being separated, not being discriminated against, or whatever the case may be. So, sorry about my mother just contacted me. Got to let her know I'm doing the show, Mom. That tells you right there that I might get my family support. If they didn't know I was on the show, that lets you know that my family is not doing their job and they're not supporting the One Fam Nation. I'm just putting it out there for my family. They're obviously not giving my support. And that's why I thank all those that come on and those that have their family support, because not everybody gets that. And so that's why I continuously do that. But anyway, but yes, they felt that it was necessary to post the fact that he is getting divorced. Like I said, I don't necessarily agree with it, but it is what it is. It's been posted. It's been put out there, so, you know, we'll run with it. But, I, of course, I had to pass on this information and discuss it because it just bothers me in so many ways that it just makes no sense. And I just figured I would continue. I just wanted to put my two cents out there about that. I just feel that sometimes personal life is personal life. That's why we call it our personal life. And so, There we go. Pictures everywhere. Things everywhere. I tell you what, it was a long weekend. It really was. It's funny having these kind of weekends because you already know, even though you had 2 days off, everything that you got to cram into 2 days, you know that you're not going to be energized. It's not going to feel like you even had 2 days off. And that's what it felt like. Between getting up, it was Friday night, and I want to thank everybody that are personal friends with me on my Facebook page that either commented or liked the pictures that we put up of my daughter's military ball. She was absolutely positively beautiful. She had a great time. When it was all said and done, I got to roll into bed about 2:30 that morning. Was up at 5 o'clock, so 2.5 hours later. Got everybody loaded up. Well, everybody. Got both kids loaded up, car loaded up. Was on the road by 5:30. And riding on 2.5 hours sleep, we made it into Gatlinburg. I could have made it by 11 o'clock, but I made a couple stops. Had to get a little stretch on, get rejuvenated. Thank you, Miss Lee. Had to get rejuvenated, everything. And then we got in, and we got situated, we got on the mountain probably about 1 o'clock, and we climbed that 2.7 miles up, 2.7 miles down, got to do all the walking around, did the hillbilly golf, we up on the mountain, playing putt-putt all the way down, did a whole bunch of stuff, couldn't get to sleep, got to sleep probably about midnight-ish. I know I was back up at 1:30 messaging people. I was back up at 6 o'clock messaging people, 6:15, 6:30. Really never caught up on the sleep. Had to jump in the vehicle. I was supposed to leave about 2. We actually got on the road about 1:30. Thank God we did, because we hit traffic, and instead of getting out of town at 1:30, it took me actually an hour and a half to even get out of town with construction. So I actually didn't even hit 40 until 3 o'clock instead of wanting to be on 40 by 2 o'clock. And then everything just kind of trickled, and then you got another 6 hour or so drive. I had to get out, stretch, had to do everything else. Tell you what, comes this morning, like last night and then this morning, I'm just like, wow, like it did not feel like I had the last 2 days off. Did get some work done this morning. I was very proud of the fact that I was able to get my numbers together for Miss Lee, getting an email her tonight, got 3 pieces posted myself, contacted a few people, did a few things. Very productive morning. Obviously, I didn't have to go to work first thing this morning. I didn't have to actually be there and do my GM kind of stuff, paperwork, meetings and stuff. But, yeah, that's the only thing about having 2 days off and you spend that doing a road trip is because you know just as well that when you get back and it's time to go back to work, you not feel like you've had 2 days off. That's like just as excited as I am knowing I'm getting ready to hit a bunch of races coming up here soon. But those are going to be long, long weekends. A lot of driving. Bristol's a good drive for us. Atlanta's a good drive for us. And it's funny when people say that, but it is so true. You need a vacation from the vacation. But there's a lot of things that you got to cram in. And, you know, on top of that, being a single father of one full-time kid and looking very, very, very likely that come summertime, two full-time kids, as I believe my son is going to be returning to me and live with me come this summertime, as he's expressed it very much that he wants to do so, things will be rather interesting. And so it's definitely a handful of this ends, and I definitely try to make sure I keep up with everything and be as productive. And I'm getting back into the swing of everything like it needs to be done, and I can't thank my crew enough. Between Miss Lee and Raphael and Joey and Noah, and it seems like there should be another name that I throw out there. Not just the summer, Miss Lee, that I think it's going to be a permanent thing. That's what the way it's looking. That's what I'm hoping on. Not just a summer gig for me. Him and myself both want it to be a permanent move, and that's what we're gearing for here. But I definitely got to thank all those that help and support. And there's a few other people behind the scene that help out when they can. Karen, she has helped. She's the reason why the radio site is up to date. She spent a good portion of the afternoon, before I left for vacation, getting the radio site. I showed her how to do it and everything else. So there's a lot of people that put their two cents in and help and really make this all work, and I'm very thankful for all that. Speaking of being thankful, let me go ahead and throw our sponsors in, because I know we got about 10 more minutes before we jump into having Jade. I'm going to play a little bit music at the halfway point so I can refill my drink now that the allergy money medicine has kicked in, and now I don't have that cough no more. I drank all my fluids, very dehydrated, and I need to rehydrate now that I don't have the cough no more, and I don't want to get the cough back from being dehydrated. So let me go ahead and plug that. We'll take a couple second intermission break. We'll have Jay join us on the other half of the show. But I want to make sure that I thank Frog Fuel Protein. You can check them out at www.frogperformance.com. I'll throw this up there. Come here. And for those that have the phone that can read the QR code, just to make sure I get that good and clear, your phone will read that if you have one, a smartphone, and you want to zap it. I know it works. I've done it personally. But I got to thank them. You can check them out at www.frogperformance.com. 15 grams of protein, no carbs, 100% absorption, developed by the Navy SEALs. Great, great stuff. If you want an example of what this can do for you, check me out on Facebook, CJ Sports. I have a comparison from April 22nd, 2013 to April 22nd, 2014. Now you can, Miss Lee. All you got to do is just remind me, and I can always make it where you can. I never think about it because I don't ever play with the buttons that much. But now you can. But if you want an idea of what this product can do for you, hit me up on Facebook, my fan page, CJ Sports. It's got a picture of me with the same background. I'm in a shirt and tie. Tonight I went with promoting one of the drivers that's come on our show. There is a picture on April 22nd, maybe April 23rd, but it's dated. It's got a piece of paper that got the dates on it. And you will see a draw-dropping comparison of what this could do for you if you eat right, you exercise right, and you take this product. Make sure you check that out. Also, I've got to thank Sideways Illustrated. You go over to sidewaysillustrated.com, get your subscription. Also, make sure that you check out Monterey's Mexican Restaurant. You can check them out at 173 Westwood Shopping Center, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Let them know the 110 Nation sent you 10% off your bill. Also, you can also make sure you check out TopBet.com. They have jumped aboard the 110 Nation. I got a couple other things we got in the works. We'll definitely have one for starting the next week's show. It's not really so much for us. It's more for our senior feature writer, Jay Spearman. It's something that he is involved with, something that he is having great success with. We told him since he is part of the 110 Nation, he's been with us for about 3 years now, that I had no problem help promoting what he had going on. So we're going to help him promote. He is one of the owners of the 110 Nation and someone that has been a very key part of us growing over the 3 years. So I had no problem with doing that. We got a couple of things in the works that we will release as they become official. Does it let you hit put on air? I'm trying to help Miss Lee right this second. If not, Miss Lee, if it's not letting you, because I can, right next to where you put Sideways Illustrated, where it has the zero and the up and down arrow, if I hover over it, it says put on air. If it doesn't show it on yours, then if you actually put it in the chat underneath where you write it, it should say put chat on screen, add to queue, or delete. You might be able to do it that way if you do it over on the right-hand side. I'm not sure, but I know either one I could put on the screen, but I'm not sure what it is letting you do or not do, so you're going to have to let me know. But like I said, if it does not work or it's underneath the screen and to that side, it should say put on air. If you hover over where it has the up and down arrow, then put it on. Yeah, this is weird trying to do this backwards. Yeah, put it on that side. And then above it, it should give you the option to put on screen, delete, or put in queue, and you can do it that way as well. You try that. You let me know. I'm going to go ahead and take a couple second break, go ahead and put a little tune on, refill my glass, so I'm prepared to talk to Jay Spearman, NBA, all the craziness that's going on right now. I mean, hell, Vince Carter has become a hero in Dallas right now. A lot of things to talk about. I want to make sure that I can keep up with Jay Spearman. So you guys chill a second. Ms. Lee, you play with that a second. We'll be back on the other side to talk to Jay Spearman. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I'm your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at CJ Sports 1. You can follow 110 Nation at 110 Nation. And we are very honored and glad to have you guys here tonight listening to us, tuning in to our show as we work very, very hard to make this all possible. If you're interested to join the 110 Nation as we continuously grow, obviously we continuously looking for more and more writers and co-hosts or hosts. And if you're interested, all you do is hit me at MrCJSports@gmail.com. Also, if you're interested, come on the show. If you're an athlete, part of some athletic organization, team, whatever the case may be, maybe you got a show or site and you want to come on and promote it and talk some sports. Or maybe you got some kind of foundation or charity or some kind of event coming up and you want to promote it. We have no problem with getting you on the show. You got to hit us up. So hit us up at Lee, that's L-E-E underscore 110 Nation at yahoo.com. Also, I want to make sure to shout out to Jay Havens and the Jay Havens Racing Team. They had their first race this weekend. Didn't quite turn out as good as they were hoping. Lessons learned. And they get to proceed and get on to the next race. But you can follow him at Jay Havens. Also, Kathy Ganass, I got to thank them for allowing us to be on their car a few weeks back. You can follow her at Casey Ganass, C-A-S-S-I-E-G-A-N-N-I-S. Also, we were supposed to have Kenny Martin on last night, of course, with me being delayed, getting back into town and everything else that went along with that. We're going to have him on tomorrow night. Looking forward to having him. You can follow him at Kenny Martin. Looking forward to, as I believe we got, 2 days left in the contest. Looking forward to talking to him and the excitement as he will be one of the contestants that will be able to go to Charlotte and participate in the events at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. So I'm sure the excitement will be loud and clear in his voice. So definitely looking forward to that and having him on the show. Make sure that you follow our writers. You can follow Raphael at Think Share Laugh. You can follow Jay Spearman, our senior NBA writer. You can follow him at underscore the letter J, the Demolisher. You can follow Ms. Lee at CreedyRN, that's C-R-E-E-D-Y-R-N. You can follow Steffi at Steffi Girl N-Y-G, that's S-T-E-F-I-E, Girl N-Y-G. Joey, you can follow him at J-W-E Sports. Noah, you can follow him at Noah G-84. Spit that out. You can also follow myself at CJ Sports 1. Like I said, you can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. I see Jay's face popping up in the screen on the right-hand side, so it looks like we're getting ready to have Jay Spearman join us. Definitely looking forward to talking some NBA. Speaking of NBA, as we have two games going on tonight, as nothing is refreshed here. Miami, obviously, is going to go ahead and sweep their series. Have already swept their series 4-0, 109-98. Atlanta has shrank the lead a little bit, down to 18 points. And Indiana's trying to make a comeback, but down 18 points, getting ready pretty much to go into the fourth quarter. And then Dallas and San Antonio, 12-4. Dallas is up over San Antonio. This has turned into a very interesting series. As obviously, we're going to talk about the rebirth of Vince Carter. I'm dying to hear what Jay has got to say about Vince Carter and everything that is going on in these playoffs. Yeah, they do two races. And obviously, Raphael is one of those that's tuned into the show because I just got a direct message from him. So I want to thank him personally for not only hanging out and listening to the show, but hitting me up. But busy, and that's not to include us trying to get into any baseball, football, as we're working on Carolina Panther games. and to answer, not really answer the question, but kind of comment off your comment, what the plans are is as we continue to grow, we want to get the press passes for all our riders that myself and Ms. Brandy and her husband have. We are looking to expand to the fact that we'll be able to get all our riders into as many live events as possible through the using the press pass. So he commented on if there's any events that I'm just too busy for, let him know. Kind of throwing a joke out there. But ultimately what the goal is, and if we can hit the press pass company at the right time for the right price, because what the press passes we got that are good for 2 or 3 years versus what they cost now is in you want to know the difference in the price of what we paid and what they're wanting now for those same press passes. It is like 5 times the amount. It's ridiculous. But, you know, the goal is to get all our riders and all our radio talents press passes through the 110 and make it possible for you guys to all be out there doing what we've been able to do, because it has been a great experience, and I want all our riders to have the same opportunity. Without any further ado, though, we got Jay Spearman in the studio. Why do you got to give me disappointing information, Ms. Lee? It seems like every time we get an Ohio team in the playoffs, they can just not win, and the Columbus Blue Jackets lost the game tonight 4-3 to the Penguins. I believe that's the play. But they did lose. They should put that out there. But we got Jay Spearman in the studio. We have a crap load of NBA talk to talk about. But before we get into that, it's been a couple weeks. How's it been, Mr. Spearman?
Alive, to say the least. it's been a pretty eventful couple of weeks for me. I'm sorry, I wasn't able to make it on the past couple of weeks. The first week, everything as far as timing hit me, and then last week actually I was out of town. I was in Tennessee, taking care of some stuff, and you know, just meeting up with some old people, everything of that sort. But I'm back. I'm excited to be back. Excited to be energized again. Hang out with you guys to tell you just how much Cleveland sucks. But other than that, man, I'm having a shot to your face. Other than that, no, I'm having a good time.
Just went to Tennessee myself this last weekend. We kind of halfway point for my family in Ohio, and we meet up in Gatlinburg. So. Got to enjoy the Tennessee as well. Glad to see that the tornadoes and all that did not affect you guys, or affect you directly anyway, other than the power loss. But it didn't affect you in harm's way anyway. I tell you, the weather's been just as crazy down here. There's been tornadoes left and right. We experienced hailstorms yesterday and today and the other day. Wow, and this whole setup is different. Like, it just lets you put you on without me even doing nothing.
You know, you know what's funny, Jason? I didn't know that we actually had a tornado. I didn't know we actually had a tornado until minutes before I told you. Like, somebody just hit me up, and they're like, I thought we just lost the power because we didn't pay our bill. And somebody actually told us, oh, hey, nobody has power. And, you know, I'm pointing my finger, you know, at my girlfriend, like, pay our bill. We got to pay our bill. Nobody has electricity, James. Oh, okay. We had a tornado. Oh, man, okay. So, in my defense, I blame everybody else. I'm sorry to her. But, yeah, we actually had a tornado that I didn't even know.
Now, that tornado could have took out your guys' stadium, and it wouldn't have shed any tears, but obviously it wasn't in God's plan. I guess God figured us beating you guys up every year is just good enough. But true story, about 3 years ago at this point, As a matter of fact, it was three years ago. I was actually doing a run. I was a manager at the Peace Place that I'm GM at now. But I was doing some deliveries onto Fort Bragg, and we were supposed to actually have Spring Fling, which is basically the opening season for baseball in our area. They do a big thing. That got canceled. There have been storms and warnings, but really didn't give any thought to it. Got to the gate to get my car inspected. Right when I got to the gate, the ceiling let loose, downpours, get through the inspection. Of course, we're underneath the building, so I don't get wet or nothing. Get to the next light. It stops raining. I hit the next light, go over the first bypass, hit the next light. The power goes out. Don't really think none of it, because it's common for all it takes is enough wind around here to knock out power. So don't really think nothing of it. Don't understand why the MPs are acting stupid and fussing at somebody or saying something to somebody. I'm just sitting there thinking, we stopped like a stop sign. It's really no big deal. Just let these people go. Quit bugging these people. Come up to the next intersection. There's no power. I treat it like a stop sign. And a car to the left treats it like a stop sign. And the next thing I know, he opens his door and stands out of his car. So I roll down my window, and he's like, the tornado's behind me. Go, 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 go. And so I go straight through this light to continue to make my delivery, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, if the tornado's coming from my left and I continuously go straight, at some point this tornado may come into my path. So the next thing I do is I go hide in the military housing and get out of harm's way. It hits one side of Fort Bragg, then it bounced, and a lot of people saw this video on YouTube. But it hit Sanford. It ended up taking out a Lowe's and a whole bunch of other stuff, but it's most commonly video to watch, which had a lot of hits, where it hit actually destroyed the Lowe's in Sanford. But, yeah, I was no more than maybe a quarter mile away from this tornado that was tearing up the other side of town, and I'm just in my own little world making a pizza delivery, not thinking nothing of it. But, I've got to experience the tornado firsthand. I can remember one time when I was in Ohio, we was actually leaving a family's house in the distance. I can remember this. I was a little kid, real, real little, maybe kindergarten, first grade. But I can still remember sitting in the vehicle and actually seeing the tornado in the distance. We actually turned around, went back, and got in the basement. It didn't hit us, but I can actually remember seeing it in the distance. But I just think it's crazy because of I'm not going to blame everything on us, but I think as Americans, I think a lot of our weather pattern has to do with the fact that we just level everything. We no longer have all these trees and everything. We just level everything and put these houses, and I think it's just really disrupted the weather pattern. But you see more commonly weather, like I've never heard of so many tornadoes in North Carolina of all the years I've lived here until the last two or three years, and just the weather is just crazy these days. But, yeah, I'm glad to see that you guys, other than the power, wasn't directly affected by it, and I'm glad to see that you are back here with us, and we're able to do this and talk about not the craziness of the weather no more, but the craziness of the NBA, as it seems that ever since the playoffs hit, the NBA world has been turned upside down, from the Pacers to the Clippers to LeBron James catching an elbow to you name it, Vince Carter. Hero in Dallas right now. The man's like 100 years old. I'm going to let you run with what you want to talk with first, and I'm going to keep up with you, but this playoff is by far, so far, going to be the most interesting start to a playoff for us.
But you know, Jason, you make a lot of good points. That this NBA playoffs is actually a lot more exciting than a lot of us, including yourself, Jason, have given the NBA credit for in quite some time. It's been very competitive. In fact, a lot of the series are very enjoyable. One of my favorites to watch right now is actually the Clippers and the Golden State series, because my prediction still falls with that series based on the fact that the Clippers will likely make it to the NBA Finals to take on either Indiana or Miami. Speaking of the Clippers, Another little side issue going on with them is their dumb a owner, Donald Sterling. I'm pretty sure, Jason. Go ahead.
I said you can say ass. I don't care.
Oh, so I can say ass on here. Ass. All right.
When it comes to the Clippers owner, you can pretty much say whatever you want at this point. I'll take whatever heat I got to take.
Okay, yeah, this guy is a piece of crap. quite seriously, if these allegations are true, which there is lawyers are now claiming that whole voiceover with him and his girlfriend, that whole recording could have been doctored, could have been hit with a little bit of editing here or there. But in the case that it's true, which, I mean, I honestly believe in the bottom of my heart that recording is 100% accurate, this guy is one of the biggest scums that you can imagine. He's the reason why I say racism is not dead. Racism will never die, based on the fact that you got guys like this guy living in a whole different generation, living in our generation, and what it's doing is instilling thoughts and beliefs on youth of my generation to carry out his beliefs. The fact that, and he said it in some of that recording, he says that, there's a culture going on right now to where racism is pretty prevalent in, American culture. And let's be honest, yes, he is right. Racism does play a role in American culture. However, it doesn't play a role in American culture to where we as a whole believe in the same beliefs that he believes in. I mean, this is 21st century, 2014. A lot of his beliefs have straight up changed. And to tell somebody, I don't want you bringing black people to my games, that's not only appalling to me as a black person. That's appalling to any NBA fan. That's appalling to any Clippers fan. That's appalling to anybody who likes sports in general. That's appalling to anybody who calls himself American. That's appalling to the soldiers, the Marines, anybody who fought or believed in our freedom to do and say whatever we feel. That's appalling in them. You got all types of, I can only imagine how the NAACP is taking this, how Jesse Jackson, how Al Sharpton, they're probably having a field day with this situation. But as far as your main media concerns right now, so I'm talking Adam Silver, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, of course, being that he was actually mentioned quite a few times in the recording, likely Larry Bird, being that Magic Johnson is good friends with Larry Bird, just everything that we've worked and fought for to get ourselves out of that mindset, this guy is reminding us that they still exist. So in a way, I'm not surprised at Donald Sterling. I mean, that's not, remember, Donald Sterling did have quite a few allegations dating all the way back to the mid-90s of racist behavior. Elgin Baylor actually sued Donald Sterling based on the fact that he was wrongfully fired based on race and age. There were speculations that, Donald Sterling didn't originally want a black coach to coach his team based on the fact that he believed that poor, and not, this is quote, poor black people should be coached by a southern white coach if it was his way. But, I mean, that's just taking the result that throughout the 90s and most of the 2000s, the Clippers sucked incredibly. So who cares what Donald Sterling has to say on that standpoint. But bringing it back, once again, 80% of your team is black. A good portion of your fan base is black. You're in LA. They're black and Hispanics. 80% of your team is black. Some of the best players in the game, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, depending on who you ask, are black. One of the best coaches in the game, Doc Rivers, is black. The team that he's going up against, dominantly black. The coach that they're going up against, he's black. You get my point here? You're in the wrong field to be talking that kind of garbage. It's time out for that, man. It really is time out for that type of behavior, not only from just an American in general, and I'm ashamed to call this man American, but from a guy who's on that type of media class. This is a billionaire, and you just feel you can say crap like that and not get leaked. Well, sir, this is 21st century. You're dealing with a whole different level of technology, social media. Yes, your stuff got leaked. Everything that's done in the dark comes out in the light, right? Well, this is one of those things. And as far as the Clippers, I applaud them for their protest. They did it very, very diligently. They did it very mature-like. Nobody got beat up. Nobody, they didn't make a lot of noise. They just held a quiet protest. No, let's not show the team's logo if we can. Let's turn our shirts backwards if we can. And just show that we're standing together as a unit. Mark Jackson actually made a suggestion that fans should possibly boycott the Clippers game. I say if possible, yeah, let's do that. Let's make it a blacked out game. I say let's go for that. You know, if we're gonna be a unit in the NBA, which is of course my favorite sport, let's go out in style and show guys like Donald Sterling that we're not gonna put up with that garbage, especially now.
No, I find it interesting. One, let me backtrack 1 second. Like I discussed yesterday on yesterday's show, a lot of people ask me my nationality and ask me what I'm mixed with. And I tell everybody the same thing, that I really don't care because I don't see race. I don't care what I am because I don't care what anybody else is. And I'm fine with that, so I don't care. And the daughter, we talked about this before the show, and she goes, well, what if your son wants to know his heritage, this, that, and the other? Well, you know, if he wants to do the research, whatever the case may be, it is what it is. I don't care, and I don't look at other people's race and care, so I don't look that up. And one of my all-time favorite movies is Remembering the Titans. And I can't, for the life of me, being how the majority of my friends are anything but white, I couldn't imagine looking at you or looking at my best friend or most of my friends and not like you guys because the color of your skin. So it really just blows my mind to even have that thought to go through my head. But on top of that, in one sport that is predominantly everything but white, I don't know how you would even have an ounce of racism as an owner of a team in the NBA when you know that you're pretty much going to have maybe one or two white guys on your team, and that's it. And it really messes with my mind that anybody in the NBA would think to be racist because that's the NBA.
Exactly. No, like, how can you even, you know, bring it to your mind? I mean, my personal opinion is in the comfort of your own home, say what you want to say. No, that's honestly what he did. You know, you want to be the racist, you know, a-hole that you are. By all means, say what you say. Do you in the comfort of your own home. However, don't expect it not to come out by any means. One of the funniest things, I was actually looking at this meme not too long ago, and it said three of the most truthful people in the world are drunk people, people who just don't give a crap, and I'm actually editing that word, and then mad women. And, I mean, Donald Sterling was dealing with a pretty angry woman. I mean, like, she said, more, she seemed, in the recording, she seemed more resentful than angry, but, oh, she was mad. She was mad. So, well, what do you expect from a mad, angry woman, but her not to leak your dirty laundry out for the world to see? Which, being that, A, you know, you're dating a billionaire, so you are in a spotlight, B, you have a form to do so. This is something that anybody was expected to do. The biggest fault for Donald Sterling is he's an old SOB, and he doesn't understand just how the internet generation works. You say something, everybody hears it. So, get in the comfort of your home, that's great. You say what you want to say, that's great. But now we all get to see just what type of, you know, a-hole you really are. Personally, the Clippers happen to be one of my favorite teams. But as long as this guy owns the team, I would be damned if I put any money into the Clippers organization whatsoever. With all due respect to the players on the team, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, once again, some of my favorite players, Doc Rivers, one of my favorite coaches. With all due respect to them, until that guy owns the team, I'm not going to give my money to that dude. Not with no means whatsoever. It was funny. There was speculations. Like when I was a kid, my brother-in-law used to tell me, I don't know if you guys have a Church of Chicken down in Carolina, but up here we do. We have quite a few of them. And it was speculation that Church of Chicken was owned by the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK. And my family refused to eat Church's chicken because it was owned by the Ku Klux Klan. My family refused to eat drink Mystic, which is another drink that's popular up here, because it was owned by the Ku Klux Klan. I kind of found that to be far-fetched. But here is blunt racism. Pretty much a guy has bluntly said, I don't want black people money, because black people money is different than white people money, apparently. It's a whole different shade of green and probably has a bigger dollar value as far as Donald Sterling's concerned. But he pretty much just straight up said that. So that's different what he wants. He doesn't want our money. That's not giving our money. That's how I feel about the situation. Screw him.
Now, you were high in on the L.A. Clippers, and even before this happened, I don't think we saw the Clipper team that we thought we were going to see, at least in the first round. We honestly thought, I think, that the first round, the Clippers would have been a little bit more dominant than they have been. Obviously, this is not a distraction this team needed. Now, one, as I think we're going to get decisions tomorrow from the NBA on what they should do with the owner, one, what do you think would be the best thing to happen for the NBA or happen for the Clippers on that aspect? Two, do you think that the distractions is going to is ultimately put the fork in the Clippers for this season? And three, moving forward for the Clippers, if all these allegations do happen to be true, are we going to start to see players wanting to opt out and move into a different direction?
I think the best thing for, well, to my understanding of the way the NBA owners of the committee is set up, they can reject your ownership to a team based on some type of vote. Now, I'm not 100% educated on exactly how that works, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Adam Silver in the NBA organization, the players' organization, actually sit down and come up with somebody whose president happens to be a guy by the name of Chris Paul. Oh, man, isn't that funny? Who's president of the NBA Players Association happens to be Chris Paul, black man who happens to play point guard for the Clippers. So I don't understand how that doesn't sit in Donald Sterling's soul right there. But I'm pretty sure that Chris Paul himself will sit down and say, hey, look, we need to get rid of this guy. The funny thing is there's actually people now interested in buying the Clippers. A couple of them actually happens to be partners of Magic Johnson, who will apparently go in with Magic Johnson on possibly purchasing the Clippers. And what type of low-blow would that would be the dude who you just talked crap about over a video recording actually buy your team and kick you to the curb? That's funny. I say that could possibly be an issue, but if that does not happen, I do not see Doc Rivers being a Clippers coach for long. I believe that Chris Paul would probably stick around, probably surely based on the loyalty that he has to that team, to the players themselves, not the organization, the players themselves. You know, the way Chris Paul is, it's very difficult for him to leave a brotherhood. It was very difficult for him to leave New Orleans. So I don't necessarily see him straight up packing up and leaving immediately, but I would see a lot of free agents, a lot of potential free agents, definitely taking this situation and looking into it before they actually decide to head to the Clippers. The something about that is now you actually close the door on a potential, you know, team, a potential squad. Let's say, for example, I don't know, you could possibly pick up Carmelo Anthony. And I'm just throwing a name out there, of course, but you could possibly pick up Carmelo Anthony. Well, Carmelo Anthony is not going to actually have his team knowing that the owner doesn't like black people straight up. So why even head down there, you know? Well, you just lost out on signing Carmelo Anthony, and that's going to ultimately piss off a lot of Clipper fans, a lot of Clippers fan base. That's going to result in ticket sales. That's going to result in a lot of merchandise sales losing numbers. And inevitably, it's just going to wind up being a black hole for Donald Sterling anyway. So if I was Donald Sterling, the most the smartest thing to do at this point would be to sell the team. I would sell the team and just, you know, collect my cash now because you've ultimately screwed yourself later. As far as distraction for the Clippers, I don't find this being too much as a distraction in them. If anything, I find this to be motivation, being on the fact that, this team stands together. They stand strong. And the best way to stand strong is to go out there and win games. So last night, they just got beat down, face just straight up. No problem whatsoever. The Warriors were a better team. Klay Thompson was on fire. I don't find this to be an incredible distraction for them. But what I will say is that you're absolutely correct. We haven't really seen the true strength of the Clippers. That one, it was I think it was game two where they straight destroyed the Warriors by what, cool 40 points. That's real Clipper basketball. And if they continue to play real Clipper basketball, they could get rid of the Warriors in the next the next couple of games. I think it's 2-1 right now anyway. The next game to be played, and next game after this one, I believe, is to be played at Staples Center. Which if everybody decides to boycott this, then it's going to be a really quiet arena. Yeah, I don't see this to be a distraction. I think the Clippers just need to get back to basics, get back to playing Clippers basketball, and they do that. You're gonna see this series in quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Now, I'm not sure if you answered Miss Lee's question. I was trying to multitask. She asked about the sponsor pullout. If you didn't address that, she asked, "What do you think about sponsors pulling out the Clippers?" Obviously, there's going to be interest in people wanting the team. They have turned this team around. He finally decided he was going to spend money, and the Clippers are a great team at this point, much better than the team we knew from before that they would not spend money and it was just a garbage team. So I can definitely see there being an interest in there. Also, on top of that sponsor question, if you did or didn't answer, what do you think is the best thing for this Clipper team to do? Do you want to prove a point and bring home a championship that this guy is going to get credit for, or do you not want a championship because you don't want to reward your owner by being an ignorant piece of garbage?
Well, to answer the special question, I'm sorry, Ms. Lee, I actually didn't see it on the screen. My Google has crashed on me just quick, so I'm actually trying to relaunch with this pre-pass as we speak, which I'm doing right now. But as far as sponsors pulling out from the Clippers, I think it's the same. It was the same effect as when the sponsors pulled out from under Tiger Woods. You don't want to be associated under BX if you're a sponsor, no matter what, because then you're going to start having the general public looking at you associated with these people, and you know, put you in the same category as them. The old saying goes, you are who you associate yourself around with. You are who you associate yourself with based on the top five people you hang out with. I think that applies to a lot of people in the world, you know. I have a lot of friends who will tell me straight up, hey, you know, James, we've been hanging out for such and such and such, and I find myself doing things kind of like you. I have one of my friends who's now found a new love in basketball just based on the fact that whenever he's around me, I'm either watching basketball, playing basketball, reading about basketball, or anything of that sort. Now he's found a new love playing basketball. I found myself enjoying hockey more being around him, vice versa. So when it comes to the sponsors, I find them in the same category as I am. You know, you are who you put yourself around with. And these sponsors pulling themselves out are not necessarily doing it to punish Donald Sterling, but they're doing it to save face. You know, if Sprite was associated with Clippers, I would expect them to pull out. That's what you want as a fan, as a demographic, which is dominantly black, to actually kill yourselves because you're associated with Donald Sterling. Same thing, I forget all the sponsors who are associated with the Clippers, but kudos to the sponsors for doing this. I said the same thing about Tiger Woods. You know, If you're doing mess, if you're doing garbage, nobody wants to be around you. And as far as your question, Jason, I don't think that the Clippers should blow the playoffs based on this idiot. I don't think that they should necessarily stop aiming for a championship. Let's say they do win a championship. Let's say they win one. Well, you can clearly make it known without being disrespectful that we won this championship for our fans, for our brotherhood, for the city of L.A., not for Donald Sterling. Screw Donald Sterling. We did it for us, and he just so happened to be here. Worst comes to worst, don't let him on stage. Don't have him around. Don't let him to the pep rally. Don't let him to the parade. You know, I don't necessarily see the Clippers winning the championship anytime soon, but I'm just saying, you know, whatever the case may be, he has no – he didn't do anything to help this team. He didn't do anything to better this team. He doesn't like anybody on the team as far as their color is concerned, and as far as they're concerned, that's how they're taking it. He doesn't like us anyway. But still go out there and do a job because that's what you have to do. It's just like me at work. There was a time at work where I hated my boss, couldn't stand my boss. I still went in there and gave 110%. Not because I wanted to make him look good, because I wanted to, A, make as much money as possible, but, B, keep my reputation of being, you know, the best employee that he had. Ultimately, he was let go months and months and months ago, and I'm still there. I'm still there, and I've actually been promoted, and I'm actually, you know, and I'm actually making even more money than when he was paying me. So it goes to show you that, you know, you continue to put good out in the world, you get good back. And the same thing applies to these Clipper players. Chris Paul is a very intelligent man. Pretty sure he'll figure something out. Blake Griffin also is a very intelligent man, as well as J.J. Redick, as well as Glenn Baby Davis, DeAndre Jordan, all of those. All those guys are very mature adults, and I applaud them off what they've done so far. And I don't think they should steer away at any point from the way they've been going.
Now, we also asked, but how does the sponsor pullout affect the team going forward? And who is going to want to sponsor this team going forward? And to add to that, I do have, because at this point, it's just all allegations. So what happens if we find out that this was a doctored recording and that, no, he is not racist, and I'm not going to say he's not racist, because obviously comments have been made before, but what happens if we find out all this video or this recording was just doctored together and he really did not say this? How does the team, one, how does the team kind of mend things over because they showed their boycott the way they did last night? And then how this whole league has turned against him and the whole world has turned against him. How does everybody at that point try to smooth things over if it comes out to find out that this was all just an allegation, it wasn't even true?
Well, a simple thought, simple, you know, I'm sorry, you know, we just heard of that. And, you know, nobody has given a definite on it. Even myself, I did say before I got into this rant that if these allegations are true, and that holds for what LeBron James said after the game a couple nights ago. He even went on to say, if these allegations are true, Adam Silver is actually not planning on, you know, doing too much punishing right now unless it's proven that these allegations are true. Only thing we're saying, Jason, is this: if these allegations are true, then this guy's a douche. So there's still no certainty at all, and we're not taking, you know, this whole thing for face value. But me personally, my personal belief is that this allegation is true based on Donald Sterling's track record. I mean, you know, reputation precedes you. Donald Sterling has always been perceived to be a very racist owner. Just the way how he carried out business, some of the things he said in the past, some of the lawsuits that have been placed against him. So this doesn't sound far-fetched coming from Donald Sterling by any means necessary. But once again, it's all based on, you know, the credibility of the source. You know, that's who's to say that his girlfriend isn't out to get him, to get some extra money, anything like that. You know, she is fairly young, very attractive, and who knows, like, what her motive may be. But if assuming that, you know, this, and then how did it happen? Who's the source of this recording? You know, nobody actually came out and said it was anybody. Obviously, it wasn't her. You know, what was she taped up? Like, was she wired when they were talking? But, like, obviously, it had to have been, like, some type of help that was at the house at the time, whatever the case may be. However, the fact of the matter is, nobody said for certain if he's actually committed of doing this. And if these allegations are not true, and indeed, he didn't say any of this crap, then, you know, it's just a simple, hey, no, I'm sorry. You got to understand, we have an image to hold, as the NBA does, and let's just get back to playing basketball. And then we can just be obviously on the rug, or he can get mad.
As an owner, you would think that your team would at least have – I know the team was put into a spot. You had to stand unified, and you had to show that, no, you don't stand for racism, but at the same time, we're just getting allegations. It's been nothing proven. So my whole thought process is how, moving forward, if it ends up being just allegations and there's no truth behind it, as an owner and you watch your team pretty much turn your back on you because of allegations, nothing proven, I want to know how this is going to affect his relationship with the team and how this is going to affect operations moving forward. I mean, more than likely, yes, it's true. And I'm not trying to excuse anything, but I'm playing the what-if part. What if this is just strictly allegations? How does this – you got Doc Rivers saying he's probably not going to return. You got the players that show their silent but very loud boycotts with the shirts. How do you smooth things over if you turn your back on the man that is paying you that is assembled this team if it all ends up being just allegations in the end?
I don't know. Well, you got to ask yourself, Jason. You place yourself in that position. You have an owner who has a reputation that does precede him. Now, if we were talking about, you know, the late, great Bill Davison, may he rest in peace, let's say we were talking about him and these allegations came out. Well, you got to look at Bill Davison's reputation when he was alive. He was nothing like this. You know, he cared about everybody. Tom Gore, resident of L.A., owner of the Pistons. Let's put yourself, let's say this was him. Now, this is a guy who, you know, he makes friends with everybody. You know, Mark Cuban. Let's use him, for example. Let's say it was Mark Cuban. Let's say Mark Cuban got put in a situation to where these allegations came out. Would you believe him? I wouldn't believe him. It's Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban loves anybody. Mark Cuban is one of the funniest people you'll ever meet in your life, and you generally have a good time with everybody. You just can't see Mark Cuban saying these things. And if these allegations did come out that Mark Cuban did indeed say some stuff like this, I would take it with a grain of salt, just based on the reputation that Mark Cuban holds. However, Donald Sterling has a reputation that precedes him. He's been known to do situations to put himself in situations like this. You know, he's been known to, you know, have allegations of this sort. So if something else comes out, if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, then it's a duck. That is the way the case may be. And if I'm a Clippers player, I'm not going to necessarily go on the air and say too much about the situation. I'm not going to necessarily go out and, you know, say, you know, yep, Donald Sterling, he's a racist bastard. I don't condone him. This is that. I want to trade immediately. This is that. I wouldn't expect him to say anything like that, but I think that it did the right mature thing of showing that if these allegations are true or not true, we stand together as a unit. We're going to be proud of our heritage. We're going to be proud of our culture. We're going to be proud of who we are, and we're going to show it by what they did. You know, the whole shirt turned backwards shows unification. The whole black socks show that they're proud of who they are. The whole throwing everything in the middle of the floor showed, in my belief, that, you know, it's whatever from this point on, but we're still going to remain a unit no matter what. And I'm proud of what they did. I'm proud of, and I hate that. It's sour coming out of my mouth, but I'm actually proud of what LeBron James had to say. You know, we don't accept that type of culture in our league. You know, if these allegations are true, which is quoted by LeBron James, if these allegations are true, then, you know, he doesn't fit in our league. He doesn't fit in our NBA. This is not the place for him. He shouldn't be here. And that's all it was. Nobody said anything disrespectful. Nobody cussed him out yet. Nobody's really said too much about him. On ESPN, nobody has said a whole lot. If these allegations are true, then everything that we have done that hasn't done in the past week or so, that's just an understatement of what should have been done as far as this guy. You know, I don't believe that Donald Sterling should still be owning the team based on the crap that he thought in the early 90s, you know, with, you know, the whole, you know, I don't want a black coach situation and the whole firing of Elgin Baylor. I don't believe he should still be coach. He should still be our owner as this. I personally believe they should have revoked that a long time ago. I believe David Stern dropped the ball on that. But here's Adam Silva's chance to, you know, to pick that back up, to pick the ball back up, and finally do something about this.
Now, as I transition into talk about LeBron James, the Miami Heat tonight, in show of support of the Clippers, they wore their shirts inside out, and they took them off together to kind of basically do the same thing the Clippers did last night in their show of support of the Clippers, which I thought was a really cool thing. LeBron James caught an elbow the other night, well, about a week ago. Of course, that resulted in a $20,000 or $50,000 fine. And LeBron decided to make the comment that if this was the 80s, he would have got up swinging. I like to disagree with this because this is the man that is notoriously known for flopping, a man that helped the NBA decide to come up with a rule against flopping, even though nothing has been done and LeBron still flops anywhere from 2 to 5 times a game. And I couldn't imagine him being physical, because we know that LeBron James is the Tom Brady of the NBA, and I wouldn't be surprised if we had a LeBron James rule just like we have a Tom Brady rule. I'm a firm believer if you're going to talk, then walk the walk. You are a physical specimen. Most of these NBA players would love to have your build, but you managed to lift the threes, knock you over, or to four trip you so you can gain fouls that are not even shouldn't even be called. And I'm sorry, but if you got up and swung on somebody, I have a feeling that most of the league would turn their head the other way just because it's LeBron James. I'm not condoning McRoberts' elbow, but honestly, at what point do you think that the league wouldn't finally get tired of the officiating being so lopsided and you getting away with so many ridiculous flops? I'm surprised that he has not caught more elbows at this point in his career than he has at this point. What was your take, or did you – obviously you're not going to approve of somebody throwing bows and everything else, but in the light of the events, what was your reaction to it all?
Honestly, if this was the 80s, LeBron would have took – probably a fist by now, as opposed to an elbow. Somebody would have just punched him in the face and just caught it. I mean, the same thing happened to Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. They hated coming to Detroit because they knew Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn, was going to try to kill him. And that's inevitably what happened. As far as LeBron is concerned, you know, it's kind of like you said, Jason. This is a 275-pound man, all muscle. You mean to tell me that you're going to cry about an elbow? You know, get up, brush it off. You're going to get the flagrant. You know you're getting the flagrant anyway. You know, to my understanding, I believe Jason Robinson got ejected from that game, if I'm not mistaken. But, as you said, a lot, like the NBA is tired of this level of uneven officiating. And that's when you start talking, superstar status versus normal player status. You start dealing with there was a time where, you know, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, when they played on separate teams, you know, Kobe, and this is all due respect to Kobe, these guys are pretty much getting any foul call that they want. I mean, the same thing happened in Michael Jordan's day. You know, you high five Michael Jordan the wrong way, and it was a foul on his own team. So, with that being said, that elbow, while, like you said, I don't condone it, you know, I don't believe, you know, Jonathan Roberts should have elbowed him. It's just a show of frustration. But the officiating, it's like, you know, he's going to get a foul anyway. You know, if I blow in his ear a little bit too hard, he's going to get the foul. So that's might as well this goes, go hard or go home. Foul, elbow to the face. So, you know, that's just the way that was, you know. But I do find it disrespectful, completely disrespectful. In the same note of how LeBron, I think it was the game prior to, you know, he's going up for a duck, and the whole time he's just staring down Michael Jordan. For what reason? I don't know. To prove that you're to say something, to say that you're better than him or something like that, whatever the case may be, I found that disrespectful, the way LeBron pulled that off. So, I mean, he deserves a fist. But since you don't stare down nobody in their own arena, you know, rival or no rival, you don't stare down nobody like that in their own arena going up for a duck. Go for the duck, call it a day, and get back to business. That was childish.
You don't
that
stare
was
down
disrespectful.
The
huh?
I said you don't stare down arrogance.
Oh, no, you don't. You do not stare down your arrogance. By any means, you don't stare down. I'm surprised Michael Jordan put on a uni right there, get his gym shoes out, and dunk on him. If knowing Michael Jordan, that's all he was thinking in his head at that point. Like, I should go ahead and just run a game of 1-on-1 with him right now. But the way the team is set up, I'm going to go ahead and let this happen. But completely disrespectful. So LeBron don't have a whole lot of room to talk. You know, he really can't say a whole lot of, you know, this wasn't fair. If this was the 80s, I would have did this, that. No, he wouldn't have. If this was the 80s, LeBron would have been the same LeBron that he is now. I'm tired of people in LeBron himself saying, you know, if this was this era, if this was this era. You know, man up and do it right now. You know? If you're about that life, LeBron, and I'm assuming this would just be if LeBron was listening to this show. If you're about that life, if this is what you do, then show us. Get out there and throw something, you know? Don't be talk about it, you know. Don't get bullied. don't be the 280-pound man who gets bullied by Josh McRoberts, you know. Go out there and stand your ground. But at the same time, you know, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the other people getting elbowed in the face, but I see why. I understand why.
Oh, I definitely agree. Now, San Antonio has managed to take the lead as we get ready to go to halftime, 46-36 over the Dallas Mavericks, who leads this series 2-1. They have found new life in Vince Carter. It's like he's found the fountain of youth and is making some remarkable shots. Well, I'm not going to say remarkable. As they show, he is 47% from that side of the arc. And his most successful spot is that area where he hits it. But nonetheless, game-winning shot. Dallas is up 2-1 going into this game. How impressed are you with at least the fact that Dallas has made a series out of this and is actually leading the series at home? And Vince Carter, the 100-year-old Vince Carter that has managed to help Dallas be where they're at right now, how impressed are you with Dallas? And do you think that they can ride this through the first round and drop the number one seeded San Antonio Spurs?
Well, the funny thing about this is Vince Carter actually hasn't turned back to you the hand of time at all. Because Vince Carter wasn't shooting like this back when Vince Carter was in his prime. Vince Carter was dunking on people, straight up dunking on people. And that's just what it is. His three-point percentage wasn't all that great during his prime. What Vince Carter has managed to do was renaissance his career, give his career a rebirth. This is one of the most intelligent things to do as far as anybody is concerned. You remember Michael Jordan did this when he came back from his first retirement. You know, he instead of going hard, you know, off the weak side, you know, driving to the lane as hard, he developed that fadeaway jumper, the MJ fadeaway. And now, you know, he's beating players coming off of a fadeaway jumper just as much as beating people off driving to the lane. Because you're now trying to shut him down on some type of zone to keep him from shooting. And then you're leaving the lane wide open. So now Michael Jordan has even more of an opportunity to crap on the whole team. And it's the same thing that Vince Carter is doing know, probably not as athletic minded as MJ was, but at the same time, you know, he starts to develop a shot. You know, and that's also taking the fact that he's probably working out with Dirk Nowitzki down there, you know, trying to, you know, get some extra shooting training in, and it's starting to show. That buzzer beater, what was it, last night, that Vince Carter, or I think the night before last, Vince Carter pulled up. That's not your average Vince Carter. How many times have you seen Vince Carter hit that shot? Not many times. Let alone have the mindset, and this is just so not Vince Carter, have the mindset to pull up for the front fake, get Manu Ginobili, a very good defender, get Manu Ginobili out of your way, and still hit it with no time on the clock whatsoever. That was brilliant. That was all instinct. That wasn't Vince Carter. So, I'm loving his rebirth. I love what Vince Carter has managed to do with his career and still make himself relevant. Because despite the fact that he is about 100 years old and then some, I mean, heck, for a couple of games, you know, Vince Carter was actually straight dunking on people once again. Now, once I see him straight, you know, crap on somebody, then we can start talking about him, you know, getting his shoes back. But for right now, I'm very happy just seeing him shoot lights out, being that go-to shooter for this team. I mean, the same thing. This happens with a lot of players. So if you think about it, Richard Jefferson became a 3-point shooter the later days of his career. Michael Jordan became a shooter the later days of his career. You can go on down the line. Jason Kidd started to shoot more the later days of his career. Generally, those who can't survive on their pure athleticism anymore, they start to develop a shot. This is what Vince Carter has done, and I applaud it. As long as it's working for the team, go for it. It makes him that much more dangerous, considering the fact that you got Dirk Nowitzki on one side of the wing. You know he can stroke it. You got Monte Ellis still carrying a game. You still got O.J. Mayo. Whenever I haven't seen too much, I'm not even sure if he's been playing, and you haven't really watched the series very much. But you still got O.J. Mayo, assuming he's on the court. You still got Vince Carter hanging off in the wing now. This makes this team very much dangerous. But I will say that the best way to beat San Antonio, the number one proven way, is to run them out the gym. I haven't seen too much running out of a Dallas team. But shooting them out the gym works just fine. As long as you can get a shot off, go for it.
Now, we saw this Indiana team fall apart towards the end of the season. But I think most of us honestly at least thought that they would be able to handle an Atlanta Hawks team that wasn't even 500 making it into the playoffs. Yet now they sit down 3-2, about to face elimination. Are you surprised that Indiana is having such difficulties against Atlanta? I think they showed us that they were going to have difficulties, and we were starting to question whether or not they would be able to go deep into the playoffs. But I think a lot of us at least passed Atlanta with a little bit of ease. Are you surprised on what we're seeing in the Indiana and Atlanta series?
Absolutely. I thought Atlanta was going to get swept. I predicted it, probably not on this show, but I did predict that Atlanta was going to get swept. They are some fighting little people down in Georgia. They are. I mean, they're holding their own. Jeff Teague has been phenomenal for Atlanta, as well as Kyle Korver, for that matter. But I mean, one of the things that Indiana is not doing is they're not playing with their identity. Indiana plays big. That's what they do. And this game, Atlanta actually beat them by 10. They actually beat them double. They actually took it to double digits and put the beat down on them. This is scary. Considering the fact that, once again, we all hate Miami. Nobody wants to see Miami in the finals again. That would be boring. And assuming that Atlanta actually does pull the upset, one of the biggest upsets that the NBA probably will ever see, assuming they do pull that upset, Miami pretty much has gotten a golden ticket to the NBA finals, almost guaranteed, because after that, who they put up against after that, I believe Washington, if I'm not concerned, which Washington will win this series, guaranteed. And, I mean, Washington throughout the season has proved to be no match. And then you got Atlanta possibly going up against – actually, I take that back. If I'm not mistaken, Miami will actually face Atlanta in the second round. which is another sweep. Which is another, that's just another sweep waiting to happen. And then you find yourself going up against likely, let's say, worst case scenario, Brooklyn. For whatever, forever that matters for. Interesting series, but just no, Brooklyn's just no match for Miami in a seven-game series. Everybody on that team is old as dirt. No offense, Jason. But everybody on that team is old as dirt as far as NBA years are concerned. I'm sorry, man. But I'm just saying, in NBA years, these guys are about 100. And if that's the case, you're going up against a team who's just running people out the gym. They can't hang. As much as Kevin Garnett would love to hang with Miami, they can't. And it will be just another beatdown, which, once again, for the past 4 years, you find yourself with a Miami Heat team in the finals. That hasn't changed very much since last year's Miami Heat team. So then you're just looking to whoever can face them in the West, and it becomes boring, and, you know, whatever the case may be, Miami's likely going to win another championship off of just the fact that there was no Indiana to take them down. So I hope to God that Indiana does make a series out of this. But what they've done to screw themselves over is now they took them to a pure best of seven. Which if they beat in Atlanta, it will go to Game 7, and then they do have to beat Atlanta at their own at Conseco, which is good for Indiana. But at the same time, Miami is now well rested because they swept their series, so they're going to have a whole another week off. And for a Miami team, rest is just the worst thing to have. So it's going to make for very. Let's just say the second round. It's going to be very interesting, assuming Indiana does make it out alive against this Atlanta team.
Well, the playoffs so far have definitely been shooken up with everything going on and off the court, but surprises, not so much as we kind of expected Miami to sweep. Mavericks given the San Antonio all they can handle. Atlanta up on Indiana. I was surprised that the Wizards are manhandling Chicago. I don't think it's a surprise that Washington is winning the series, but 3-1, and it's probably going to be the 4-1 series. I think that was a little surprising. Clippers having their difficulties with Golden State. And even Memphis in their success that they're having so far against OKC, I think it's been a little bit of a surprise. But I'm glad to finally get you back on the show. Looking forward to having another hour-long conversation come next Monday night. Hopefully nothing gets in the way and we're able to do this again. Jay, as always, it's been a pleasure. Like I told you earlier in the week, we will definitely get everything situated on the site for what you got, and we'll be able to start promoting that next week so people have something to look at. But I want to thank you for coming on. I, of course, want to thank you for always being part of the 110 Nation. It's been a long, almost 3 years with us, and it's been a privilege and an honor to have you. And you're one of my right-hand men, and it's been an honor, and I'm glad to have you with us. You enjoy the rest of your night, and I will talk to you later in the week. I will let you know we got that up later in the week, and we'll look forward to having you on next week's show.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good night, everybody.
That was Jay Spearman, our senior feature writer over in the NBA section. Make sure you guys check out all the work over at www.110nationsports.com. Got to thank Frog Fuel Protein, Sideways Illustrated, Monterey's Mess Restaurant, TopBet.com. Got more things to come that we will be putting out later in this week, so make sure you stay with us, follow us. Follow 110 at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports and 110 Nation Sports Radio. BTR side, as always, we let you go first. If you ever want to know what's going on after we cut you off, first of all, you can catch the show live or the replay at www.screencast.com. As myself and Jay was on live video footage throughout that last hour. And some of our guests get on here as well. Or you can catch all the replays over at www.110nationsportsshow.com. It is up to date all the way to up until tonight's show. We will have that show uploaded sometime throughout the night. But if you ever know what goes on, make sure you check them out. If not, we let you go first. Don't forget, we got Kenny Martin joining us tomorrow night. Got a lot of stuff we're going to jump into. Make sure you tune in 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, you guys have a great night.